Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. It's Jesse Green at the control panels as always, and today we're having a conversation about how to introduce a new clinical procedure into your practice. There's a lot of information I want to cover, but before I do get to that, I want to share with you a couple of community service announcements. For those people who are new to our podcast, firstly, let me say welcome, and for those people who are back again, let me say welcome back. And the two community service announcements I'd like to make are to alert you to the fact that we have the Savvy Dentist app. The Savvy Dentist app is an app you can download from either the Google Play Store or indeed the Apple App Store. And the app is where we're producing and publishing a lot of free content, blogs, podcasts, and so on that'll help you take your practice to the next level. Now, if you want to go to an even higher level or even more depth in information, I'd like to share with you the new Savvy Dentist Academy. The Savvy Dentist Academy is something that's been a couple of years in the making. We're super proud of it, and it's available for everyone who'd like to take their practice, as I said, to the next level. In there, you'll find training, you'll find tools, resources, checklists, cheat sheets, all of those sorts of things that you're going to need to be able to earn more and work less. We've got recordings of past workshops. We've got the money machine in there. We've got a heap of things in there that are going to allow you to really get a handle on your practice and to really drive it, as I said, to that next level. So if you want to find out more about the Savvy Dentist Academy, head across to SavvyDentistAcademy.com and there's plenty of information there that'll help you decide whether it's the right thing for you. But now let's get into the conversation about how to introduce the new clinical procedure into your practice. There's tons of people going out and doing CPD courses all the time, which is great. People are looking to expand their skill set. People are looking to, you know, understand how to introduce things into their practice and develop the clinical skills. But what I want to talk today about is how to bring that skill set back into the practice so it turns out that this skill set becomes a profit center for you rather than a drain. Because one of the things that I've observed when people go through this training, whether it's learning how to do orthodontics, implants, advanced restorative work, whatever it happens to be, there's a few little things that crop up. And sometimes the problems are that there's not enough patients coming through the door. And secondly, it could be that even if there are patients, the treatment's not accepted. And thirdly, you know, the treatment's not able to be delivered efficiently because it's a new skill set and it takes time. And ultimately what that means is that, you know, there's a lot of hard work going into this and not a lot of reward. And of course, for it to become a profit center, we need to make sure that we've got enough patients. We need to make sure that patients accept treatment. And we also need to be able to ensure that we can do high quality work, but in a very efficient way. And so really the three skill sets that we're looking to master are the ability to attract patients. So recruit new patients, retain your existing patients, and of course reactivate patients who might have slipped through the cracks. We need to be able to develop the case presentation skill set. You know, in other business we'd call that selling. But of course we want to make sure that if we're using that word, that we understand that this treatment is, you know, clinically indicated, as everyone would do anyway. And finally, we need to make sure our workflow is efficient. We need to be able to do the work to a very high standard, of course, but we need to be able to do it efficiently so that we can get a commercial return on it. And ultimately, it's getting that right blend, that right ecosystem of those three elements that really make the difference. So I wanted to start the conversation about attracting patients. And this whole conversation is not meant as a marketing podcast per se, because we could talk for days, literally, about that. But I want to give you a couple of things to think about when it comes to marketing, some thoughts for you that help you get on your way to make sure that you're moving in the right direction. So the first thing I want to share with you around marketing is really the concept of laying the groundwork. And laying the groundwork means that we need to have some of the fundamentals or the principles in place, because, you know, when it comes to getting this right, if we go into tactics before we understand strategy, we run the risk of spending a lot of time, a lot of energy for very little reward at all. And so ultimately, we need to understand that firstly, your audience or your patient base is not everyone. You don't actually want to have every single person as a patient, believe it or not. we need to understand that we don't necessarily want to be competing on price, and we need to make sure that one of the things as owners, we need to ensure that we understand marketing and we spend some time and effort and energy learning that rather than spending all our time with hands in mouth. And so if we're going to think about this, really when it comes to understanding the basics of marketing, the first thing we need to do is get very clear on our ideal patient avatar. And many of you who have heard me speak about marketing before know that I always start with this because it is the ground zero of marketing. And the reason it's ground zero is because when it comes to marketing, we need to understand that there's the 3M model of marketing, which means we need to understand our market, we need to have a message for that market, and we need to be able to distribute the message in a medium where that market hangs out. So the 3Ms are the market, the message, and the medium. And the first of those M's, the market, is really important because if we get that wrong, everything else is wrong from there. So who is our ideal patient? We need to understand what their hopes and frustrations are, as well as what their aspirations are as well. So their hopes and aspirations, fears and frustrations when it comes to dental services. We need to understand, what sort of message is going to resonate with them. What are the sorts of things that keep them awake at night? Where do they hang out demographically? What are their social economic status things? Can they afford the treatment? So on and so forth. And it reminds me of a time when I was giving a presentation in Melbourne, actually, and I was talking about the concept of the ideal patient avatar. And there's a gentleman sitting at the back with his arms folded, and he basically challenged me, saying he thought that the concept of the ideal patient avatar was ridiculous and not worth anything. And I had to ask him why he felt that. And so he described his avatar as someone who was very well off, someone who drove European cars, someone who had their kids in private schools, someone who had hundreds of thousands of disposable income. And when we explored that further, it turned out that his practice was in a low socioeconomic area. So really, he was located in a low socioeconomic area, and yet he was trying to attract people from a high socioeconomic area. And he wanted effectively those people to leave their homes in their European cars, drive across town from the wealthy suburbs through progressively middle-class suburbs to a fairly, I guess, poor area to have their dental treatment done with him. Now, of course, that makes no sense at all. And when I say it out loud, it seems obvious. But we've got to understand who is our ideal patient where we are now. Who do we look to attract, and how can we get more of them? So understanding your ideal patient avatar is absolutely key. Once we've got the ideal patient avatar, we also need to be clear about differentiation. We need to understand why we're different in the marketplace. We need to understand the uniqueness and value matrix. So we want to be unique and valuable. And the problem for most dentists is the services that they provide are really valuable, but they're not unique. And when things are not unique, they become commoditized. And ultimately, we end up thinking about our practices as we're the same as everyone else, but better, or we're the same as everyone else, but cheaper. And it's a really hard argument to win from a marketing perspective. So we've got to be really clear about differentiation. And as a resource around that, I'd really encourage people to read about the Blue Ocean Strategy, which is a great book. And ultimately, building out a strategy canvas and thinking about what's the norm in dentistry and what can I do differently? What are the things that I can either increase, do more of? What are the things I can do less of? What are the things I can eliminate altogether? And of course, many people, when it comes to differentiation, are familiar with the example of Cirque du Soleil. Cirque du Soleil really turned things on their head when it came to circuses. They eliminated star performers. They eliminated animals. They introduced the theatre element. They introduced unique venues. They had a much higher ticket price. All of those sorts of things allowed them to create an experience that sees them oversubscribed today. Their shows around the world are consistently oversubscribed. And so, when it comes to understanding the groundwork of marketing, we've got to make sure that we understand our ideal patient avatar. We understand that we need to be unique. And we also need to understand that we've got to build a marketing team. We've got to get interested in marketing, but we've also got to have a team of people who can support us. So when it comes to marketing fundamentals, those are a few things that I'd really like to share with you. But another marketing thing I want to share with you is really around how to build authority. And it's important to understand that there's a difference between authority and credibility and authoritarianism. And what I'm talking about today is how to demonstrate your credentials, how to be positioned as someone who's the go-to person And of course, that comes through producing content. It comes through having great content that you plan, great content that you create, and great content that you publish. And to do that, we need to be clear about what sort of content our audience wants to hear about. So again, coming back to the 3M model, I'm now referring to the message. We've gotten clear about our market, our ideal patient avatar, but what sort of things do they want to hear about? What sort of things do they want to know about? And so if you were to look at this as an example, let's just say we were talking about introducing Invisalign into the practice, or you know, clear aligners or something similar to that. We might, you know, create some content around that that goes, how does the technology work? You know, it could be, you know, explain a bit about how Invisalign works. It could be when having Invisalign, you need to consider the following three questions. You know, that could be a blog topic or something like that. It could be, you know, anything of that nature. It could even be why I don't believe the hype about XYZ, or it could be a case study where you're working with a patient and you describe how Invisalign was able to help them with their smile. So again, if you're looking at your ideal patient avatar, and let's just say your avatar was a 30-year-old male who was interested in looking better, then you would write content that was relevant and interesting to that person. And it's a little bit like fishing, and I don't like to use this metaphor too much, but if you're going to go fishing, you need to understand what type of fish you want to catch. You need to know what kind of bait you're going to put on the hook so you can attract that fish, and you need to go where those fish hang out. So you might throw your line in with the right bait, trying to attract the right fish in the right area, but you might also catch a fish that you don't intend to catch, and that's okay too. But we need to make sure that we do focus our marketing with the right message in the right location, so we've got the right hope of attracting the right fish. So again, really, really key. So again, when it comes to marketing, we also need to be able to utilize online marketing as well. So we need to be able to understand the basics, and even perhaps a bit more than the basics around online marketing. We need to understand, you know, how to build a funnel, how to build a marketing funnel, which essentially is having an entry point into your marketing ecosystem and having it end up with an appointment in the appointment book. And of course, we could talk all day about that, but ultimately, what I'm trying to explain to you is that if you're trying to attract new patients to your practice, not all of those patients are going to be ready to buy. So what we need to be able to do is to create a system where you can remain in contact with those people. Perhaps they come to your website, perhaps they download, you know, a guide to, in this case, orthodontics or implants, or whatever it happens to be. And we set up an email marketing system around that so that when they are ready to buy, you're top of mind and you're the trusted advisor. So again, making sure you've got a really good marketing funnel is going to be key as well. So again, we could talk a lot about marketing, but it is really important to understand that some of the fundamentals are just there. Now, it's also really important to understand you've got diamonds in your backyard, because you know, if you've got a new service that you want to introduce to your practice, the people who are most likely to buy it are those who are already in your practice, because they already know you, like you, and trust you. So it's really important to make sure that you're doing things at the point of sale or within the practice to alert people to the fact that you offer this service. So that could be before and after photos, it could be a newsletter, it could be video screens, it could be any number of those things that let your existing patients know about this new service that you're offering. So again, really, really key. So when it comes to introducing the new service, we've got to make sure our marketing ecosystem is working really, really well. And I've gone through a few things there as well. But equally, now that we've got people coming through the door, we need to be able to present treatment in such a way that it's accepted. And one of the things that I find with case presentation is so many people present treatment on the day and hope that people are going to accept it. And my experience is that sometimes you need to slow down to speed up. And what I mean by that is, if you're trying to present complex treatment, then people need time to get used to the idea, A, that they need it, B, that they want it, and C, that they can buy it or afford it. And so we need to be sure that we're being a little gentle with people, because sometimes, again, when we present a big case at the outset, it's a bit like meeting someone for the first time and saying, hey, let's get married and have, you know, a dozen kids together. It can seem a little too much too soon. And so we need to make sure that we are slowing down to speed up. So what I mean by that is when we do our examination process, we need to make sure that we're not rushing to solution. And I need to ask myself three questions. You know, can I see everything I need to see to formulate a treatment plan? Perhaps I can, perhaps I can't. The second question I ask myself is, does this patient know that they have a problem that needs to be solved? And maybe they do, maybe they don't. And then finally, have I developed enough of a relationship with that person so that they're able to say yes to me today? And here's what I've observed in all of that. It's a bit like running a gauntlet, almost like the Britain's Got Talent or Australia's Got Talent kind of things. You need to get three yeses before you can progress, because if one of those points is missing, then the likelihood of treatment being accepted is radically lower. So we need to make sure that we have the ability to see the treatment. And we need to make sure the patient understands that they have a problem that needs to be solved. And we need to be sure that I've built enough of a relationship with the patient for them to say yes. So for me, that's probably the biggest mistake I see when it comes to case presentation, is it's just too much too soon. Now, of course, this is really important because it does tie back to the marketing. And when I spoke a moment ago about building a funnel, and I mentioned to you just very quickly that we could have an email sequence, what I wanted to just tie into this is how your sales process or a case presentation process can build in off the back of that. There's a great study by Google some years ago called the Zero Moment of Truth study, and it's a big study. It's a really big study, and I'm going to paraphrase it very quickly. But what that study found is that before people will spend significant amounts of money on a significant purchase, they'd like to do their research. And typically that research consists of about 7 hours worth of research and around 11 touch points or 11 interactions with your business. So that could mean checking out your website, it could mean those emails, it could mean all of those things, and it could also mean your examination process. So why I say slow down to speed up is because we've got to allow patients to rack up those 7 hours of interaction, to rack up those 11 touch points, those interactions with the business. And once that's occurred, then they're more invested in the process and they're more likely to say yes. So again, I'd really encourage you to slow down to speed up. Now, I also mentioned that we want to be able to do the treatment to a really high standard, but we also need to be able to do it efficiently. And one of the things that I would say that kills efficiency more than anything else is the wrong case selection. We need to understand that there's basically four types of cases. And if you imagine a little grid on your page, and on the vertical axis at the top, you've got an easy patient. And down the bottom of that vertical axis, you've got a difficult patient. On the horizontal axis, on the right-hand side, you've got an easy case. And on the left-hand side, you've got a difficult case. So if we look in the top right box, that's the safety zone. It's the green area. It's where, you know, we should start and build our expertise and knowledge from there. And in the bottom left-hand side, where you've got the difficult case as well as the difficult patient, that's what I call the no-go zone. And what's really interesting in my observation is that as I've become older, a bit more experienced in dentistry, I'm very, very clear about that no-go zone. You become very attuned to where you don't want to go, and you can see the danger signs or the red flags before they manifest in real life. So I'd really encourage you to be very clear about what constitutes an easy case, what constitutes an easy patient as you're introducing this new service, and start there. Now, over time, of course, you're going to be able to progress, and the upper left-hand box there and the lower right-hand box there are what I call the danger zones. And the danger zones are where you might have an easy case but a difficult patient, or an easy patient but a difficult case. And those are the little areas that as you're developing your skill set where it's easy to just extend beyond what's comfortable at the moment. I'm all for extending comfort zones, but I'm all for doing it in a structured and methodical way. So again, if you've got a new associate in your practice, that's also a really useful framework as well to help them choose the right cases. That case selection framework is really, really key. But when it comes to being efficient in the practice, we need to understand the workflow. And it's really important to remember that if you're introducing a new service, the way that people can make it, you know, commercially successful, and the way that they can do it to really high quality, is to make sure that there's a process, there's a system, and everything is geared around making sure that happens, you know, consistently, time in and time out. So what we need to be able to do then is we need to build out the workflow. And that means, you know, if you look at all the steps in the process, we need to ask ourselves, you know, who does each step? What sort of procedural checklists do we need in place for each of those steps? What instruments might be required? Is there training required for any of the staff? Are there conversational frameworks that need to be in place? And of course, for each of those steps, what's the definition of done? How do we know it's successfully completed? So again, you know, we need to make sure that workflow is built out really, really well. And of course, after that, we need to train the workflow. And for those people who are practice owners listening to this podcast, if you want to scale up your practice, really it's going to come back to team. So if you want to 10x your business, you need to 10x your people. And that means that our mindset must be that we are a training organization. And so I'd really encourage you that if you're building out this new workflow, that you train that workflow as well. You bring the team on board. And of course, you really take that to heart and get on with it. So again, introducing a new procedure into your practice is a wonderful way to increase the level of care that you can provide your patients. It's a wonderful way of increasing your own professional satisfaction and stimulation, and it can also be really a profitable exercise as well. But there are three things that we need to master to be able to do it well and consistently, and that is we need to make sure our appointment books are full so we can attract patients, retain patients, and reactivate patients. We need to make sure that we can present treatment effectively so it's accepted, and typically that involves slowing down to speed up. And we need to be able to do the work efficiently and to a very high standard. And that comes back to choosing the right cases, and it comes back to having an effective and efficient workflow and then training that workflow. So there you have it. There's a couple of thoughts there to help you introduce a new procedure into your practice. I hope you find that helpful. If you have found it helpful, please do head across to iTunes and leave me a review there. I'd love to hear how you're going with it. But in the meantime, have a great week, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/Savvy Dentist.